bunch of music. Thank everybody. This is your cousin Rizzi. Hope everybody's enjoyed our show tonight. We're going to say goodnight. Remember, same time, same place tomorrow. Right now, we're going to stay tuned for my cousin, a swinger. Here comes my cousin, Bobby J. Here's Bobby.
Bobby J.
Thank you, Cousin Brucey. Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Bobby J coming to you live from the bottom line.
Tonight I'm going to tell you a story. It's about music, a special time, and an incredible woman named Ellie Greenwich who made music history. Ellie Greenwich is perhaps the most successful female songwriter of the 1960s. Her records have sold over 25 million copies and have touched the lives of every one of us. Let me take you back to another time and place. A hot summer night in August. It's 1963, and wherever you were, whatever you were doing, the radio was playing this song. She was 16 years old, had just written and recorded her first song for RCA Records, and was ready to devote her entire life to music. She took a stage name, Ellie Gay, and her first audition at a local club went something like this.
Where's your band, dear? All right. Okay, put a record on.
Here's Ellie Gay performing a RCA single, Cha Cha Cha.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Oh, baby. I'm a baby. Oh, baby.
Yeah, thank you, darling. Listen, tell you what, why don't you come back when you finish school, all right? Matter of fact, let me make a note of this. Don't call us. We will get back to you. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Thank you, darling. Thank you, dear. Thank you.
So, Ellie went home and she finished school. She even went as far as to become an English teacher at General Douglas MacArthur High School in Wantagh, Long Island. That lasted all of 3 weeks. Seeing Ellie was more interested in the Shirelles than in Shakespeare. By mutual agreement with her principal, Ellie left the art of teaching and went back to her first love, music. Within days, a very determined Ellie found herself on her way to a meeting at 1619 Broadway, the heart and soul of the music business, Tin Pan Alley, a magical and wondrous place where anything could happen. So there was Ellie, waiting in a little cubbyhole of an office, in front of a piano, and something did happen.
We're gonna make it.
So, Ellie began a long and fruitful relationship with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. Lieber and Stoller were more than just producers. They were very successful songwriters and soon became musical mentors to Ellie. And she also started working with the legendary producer Phil Spector.
Yeah.
And Ellie had just met the boy she was going to marry. He too was a young songwriter named Jeff Barry. And as Ellie put it, he was the first guy I dated that I could sing harmony with. They immediately started hanging out, or going steady as we used to call it. Only their courtship was different. It was very musical.
You know, Elle, I'm really starting to, you know, like you a lot.
Me too.
You.
Soon, Greenwich Barry became the hot new writing team in the country. They were very young, innocent, and naturally their songs began reflecting their lives.
Yeah.
everywhere you went, you heard a Greenwich Barre song on the radio, sung by top groups like the Crystals, the Ronettes, and Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans. Now this is how it worked. Producers of these groups would come to Ellie and Jeff, pick some material, they'd go into a studio, cut a few songs, and then came the hard part, deciding which song to release first. Thing. They began producing. In fact, one of the first groups they produced and recorded was themselves under the name of the Raindrops, and began working with new groups like the Shangri-Las and the Dixie Cups. Oh yeah, I almost forgot. They got married too.
Don't you ever leave me sad and blue. Don't you ever tell me we are through. Don't you ever let me, if you do, everything they're saying will be true. People say
songs on the charts, with more than half in the top 20. The Brill Building, where their offices were, was still the hotbed of creativity. Only now, Ellie and Jeff were among the front runners. On every floor, in every corridor, deals were being made, and music was being created. Song titles were constantly being thrown around, and back then, a good title could be the inspiration for a hit song.
You had to be careful, because in those hallways, you never knew who you might inspire.
I really like the sex break.
Ellie, Carol, Jill, Jerry, how are you? Great.
Hey, man, I love the look. Damien, just got to see what you. What are you guys doing here?
We just got Winston.
Love your new motorcycle, man.
Oh, yeah, it's really boss. It's Jet Black. It's got big silver wings.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So what do you guys do?
You should get a bike, man.
Ellie! Barry!
Carol!
Jerry! Harry!
Jeff! How are you?
Great!
Hey, man, I just love Duwadi. And the locomotion was boss.
We love walking in the rain.
So, yeah, we're about to record You Lost That
Love. You're on your bike, man.
Hey, Otis, hurry!
Hey, Otis!
Despite a few lapses, most of Ellie's and Jeff's songs spoke to kids growing up all over the world. You know, maybe that's because
Ellie and Jeff were still growing up themselves. Invasion hit, flooding the airwaves with songs by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and the Dave Clark Five. And along with the invasion came the rise of the singer-songwriter. In fact, during that time, Ellie discovered a young man named Neil Diamond. And, you're a fan. Oh, okay. Ellie and Jeff produced his first three albums. I don't know whatever happened to him, but, he turned out to be their last discovery together. The changing times brought an end to romance and innocence. Ellie and Jeff changed too. They had become so successful so quickly that they never really got a chance to know each other. They had to grow up, and when they did, they decided to go their separate ways. But, wait a minute, before I end this story, it ends on an upbeat because even though they broke up, their music went on. And about 2 years after their split, Phil Spector, not knowing that they were apart, brought them back for one last writing session. That session produced two legendary songs and turned out to be history-making.
I want a love song. Okay, here we go. Let's go.
What's the matter? I don't hear anything. No. Something's the matter. Tell me, go ahead. Tell me. What's the matter?
Do you want me to tell him?
Oh, no, I'll tell him.
Phil.
Yeah, what?
Ellie has some shit.
Oh, come on. It's Ellie. What is it? Tell me. Will you tell me already?
Well, we're not together anymore. We haven't worked together for a while.
Oh, my God. Why doesn't anybody tell me these things? Oh, God.
It's not that bad. 2 years are okay.
Yeah, Phil, it's okay.
Yeah.
this was the Rock and Roll Symphony.
Baby, baby, baby.
Now the concert. Please welcome Miss Darlene Love.
I'm not afraid to and a woman could love a thief. There's a few things, baby, you should know about me.
to the ladies. We got your Kleenex, your panties, for John Fiore.
Thank you.
songs and what do they mean?
They mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. You see, we wrote these songs and got stuck for a line. So we threw these cute little riffs in. They work, they work.
They work.
It's still working.
Down to be do down down.
Not mine. Down, be-doo, down. Excuse me, Ellie. Yes.
Do-lang.
I didn't do that one. I did a bum-shoe-bum.
I got a song for you.
I remember when I first saw you.
which consisted of myself and Jeff Barry. Jeff did all the high voices and I did the bass voice. And these next two songs were written for Leslie Gore. And back in the 60s, it was fun because we could do backgrounds on those records and it was really terrific. And now with the help of my friends, they're going to sing some backgrounds for me.
Thank you. can't breathe a little without you. Girl, I feel the world around you. Cause I never had any reason without you, yeah.
Thank you.
you.